This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Gelson gets there. Another good kick from him, and here's Hutton now. Hutton going past one man, finding Wagstaff. Wagstaff turning well, setting up Chilton.
Yeah, try and join Goals TV if you can. Sponsored by Old Zoological. And yes, we're here in the Westall FM studio.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. I think we're sorted now.
Yay! That technical wizard's been in and done all these things, which is good news.
Have we got Sam going out online?
Don't think so.
I think we have, because you were muted. It looks like we have.
Got a message saying can't hear anything.
No, that was a minute ago. He was muted a minute ago. Just see if they can hear us now. Send us another message. Tell us if you can hear us.
Yeah, if you can hear us, Wacker, give us a shout.
Yeah, give us a shout, please. We're talking a little bit about what's happened end of last season, how the pre-season's going and everything like that. So what are you boys? Are you happy with how the season ended last year?
Not too bad, really. I thought we'd finish at the start of the season. I was happy with mid-table. Obviously, with the way shot I went about it, kind of went down a bit. But when Liam came in, it really galvanised the team, really. And I'm quite happy with how it ended, because I'm really enjoying the way he's playing his football.
You're not nervous then? When he plays from the back, it's a bit of... I think it can be very nerve-wracking for the supporters.
It's teething problems, isn't it?
It probably is,
long term,
it's risk and reward, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not against him playing that way. He's got to get the players to sign into it, haven't you, and take the responsibility when they've got the ball. And that's one of the things they need.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if you look at a lot of the teams that play possession-based football, or they try and control games where, I mean, because at the end of the day, the logic is that if you've got the ball, your team can't score, can they?
Yeah.
But it's what you do with the ball, what we do with the ball. I mean, our issue last season was, I mean, we had everything but up front sorted, didn't we? We were controlling the game for pretty much the entire match. And then we were struggling to create chances and or score goals. So, you know, we drew a lot of games. If we can turn those draws into wins, that's where the success comes from. And I think that's what Rosini is going to be working at. Obviously, if we have a fully fit squad, it's a lot easier to do that. But last season was just we didn't play with a recognised striker for the last month and a half of the season, which just tells you everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we went really well with the strikers, did we? I mean, I don't think we bought many, to be quite honest. Obviously, it was unlucky with the ones we bought. Connolly, who started quite well, obviously got injured, and he was out. And then, obviously, Oscar got injured. Tete got suspended, and he had a couple of injuries. So we were struggling a little bit up front, I think, most of the season, to be honest. It's the thing what we've got to sort out this season, haven't we? You know, I mean, put Ryan Longman up as centre forward a few times, didn't we? So it was really a struggle last season. The one thing I wanted to ask, if anybody's interested, is usually before the season, you think who's going to be in the bottom three? And I can't honestly find three teams that I would say you would think probably. I mean, last year, you know, you'd have said Rotherham was one. You'd probably say that this year, wouldn't you? Maybe Plymouth.
But Plymouth was the one I was thinking.
Yeah, I couldn't think of another team that I think it's going to be a real tough season this year for everybody. I don't think there's any major standout team. Obviously, three coming down from the Premiership, you'd think would be the three standouts, but they've got their problems. Leicester, they're getting rid of most of their better players. I think Leeds are going to probably struggle with two players. And Southampton, they didn't have a very good season, so I would imagine their morale won't be brilliant. So, and the teams coming up, Ipswich, and Sheffield Wednesday. I'm sure they'll be full of confidence. So I think it's going to be, I know it's always a tough league, but I think this more than ever is going to be a really tough league. I don't know what other people think about it.
I can see QPR having another slump.
They think so?
Yeah, they seem to be just in the doldrums.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. But looking at it, it looks like Millwall. They always do well, don't they, Millwall?
Millwall are a weird team because they always seem to be in and around the playoffs, but don't actually finish in the play. They're a bit like Preston, where they hover in that little just outside the top six zone, but don't go in it. And you can't really predict them to do anything because they're just there all the time. Whereas, last season was so close. I mean, what was it like with 5 or 6 games left? I think there was up till 14th, 13th.
Yeah,
realistically, still finishing the top six. So. If you're trying to find teams and predict this league, it's so difficult.
I think it is really going to be hard this season. But obviously, I'm obviously hoping City are in the top six, if not higher up than that. Like,
but there's going to be 17 other teams that are going to be saying.
I think this season is probably one of the toughest championships that we've encountered in the time that we've been in the championship.
At both ends.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be so tough this season. And trying to cement a top six spot is going to be really difficult. I'm not sure we can do it this season, to be honest, because I think with the money that we spent last season, being under this financial fair play problem, I'm not sure that we can get enough quality into the team with the money that we've got to spend, especially when you think about the people coming down. Leicester City can spend as much money as they want because they've just sold that many players for that much money. They can spend whatever they want.
Sign players like Harry Winks.
How do you compete with something like that? It's really difficult, isn't it?
It is, but you know they've got relegated for a reason, and I know players. It's a lot more easier to recruit players to your side being a relegated Premier League side because the chances of you bouncing straight back up is a lot higher. But look at Norwich and who else stayed down last season? Watford. It doesn't always work, and you can have one of the best squads in the league on paper, and they've got to have the desire to want to play in this league to match the physicality, because in the Premier League they give you a lot more time on the ball. Championship's relentless, isn't it?
What we've got this season, and we had last season, really good is we've got a good team spirit, got a good camaraderie between the team, and that can give you a little bit of an advantage over other teams that are maybe bought together a little bit and they're not as together in the dressing room as what a team like Hull City are. And I think that's one thing that Liam's done quite well is he seems to have galvanised them. They all seem to be mates in the dressing room. They don't seem to be groups of people. I think, you know, that could get us that bit of extra that we maybe need.
Mm.
Well, I would hope, you know, we had a reasonable season last year, I think. You know, probably 8 or 10 games to go, we still had the hopes of the top six, didn't we? You know, obviously we had drew a few games. We didn't have forwards, as we've said earlier on. If we can keep these forwards fit, I don't see why we can't have even better season. I ain't saying we'd be top six, but I think we could be pushing up that way because I don't think we was far off last year, realistically. And we haven't got rid of many players, have we?
No. For me, it was at the beginning of the season, I don't think any of us realistically said that we'd be in the top six. I think we maybe got a bit carried away with the hype with signing 1,900 players or whatever it was that we did. But the thing was is, we all said we just wanted to see progression. So obviously under McCann, McCann shot a season, we finished 19th.
Yeah.
You wanted to see progression. You wanted to see us start pushing the mid-table, right? Yeah. So if you split our season into thirds last season, by November, we were all, you know, how do we stay in this division? We're in a relegation fight. Then come January, before the Norwich game, we were all saying, we're bound for the top six. We're on a run. We're just outside the top six. That's where we're heading.
We dream quite quickly, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Believe in the hype.
Some would say fans are a bit overreactionary.
No, not
a chance. Especially not me, we'll tell you. But then when we lost to Norwich, then it was like, that's it, season's over.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the season, we kind of just meandered in the middle of the table. So we went from relegation to chasing the playoffs to happy with mid-table. But before the season, we'd be happy with mid-table. So overall,
they slapped their hands off the mid-table.
Yeah, of course.
I think from when Liam came in, we finished 8th based on the table.
I think we ended up about 11th or 12th.
11th in the end.
Because of the draws.
Because that just shows how much better we were under Rossini than we were under Shotter.
Yeah. Certainly does. Well, you're on Westall FM, you're listening to Tiger Pop and to Hull and Back podcast. A little bit of a collaboration that we're doing tonight. If this works well and we can sort the technicals out, we might do it again, might we?
Yeah, if people like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we was happy with the finish of last season. I'm real happy at the moment because of the signings that we've made. In the case that, you know, we've signed up Alfie Jones, we've signed up McLaughlin, we've obviously had Coyle sign up to a new contract, we've had Vaughan sign up as well. I think the business that we've done just signing our own players is as good as signing other people. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, the housekeeping was definitely, I think, the priority right at the start of this transfer window, is getting all that sorted, and then looking forwards towards getting bringing other players in.
Yeah, it was a nice change, wasn't it? Because if under the Lambs, name I thought I'd never say on radio, we would wait until the very last second to try and sign players to contract. Yeah. It was always left, are we going to sign this player? Is he going to sign his contract? Are we going to let him walk away for free? The contract situation under the previous regime was something that was just one of the most annoying aspects of supporting the club. So this time round, to see us actually, you know, identifying players that are crucial to the long-term success that are already here, getting them tied down to long-term deals is, as you say, just as important as new signings, because they've got to know that they're here for the next few years to be able to give 110%. You can't be thinking about where am I going to be next season.
No, I think it has been a good move by the club. That's one of the things you want, because, as I say, we didn't have a bad season last year. We was a little bit unlucky with injuries for a fair part of it. And, you know, we still finished sort of mid-table comfortably, didn't we? So we hadn't had a bad season. So I would think you've got to look at the players we had, just add a bit to them, you know. And we are doing that. We're trying to add a few players here and there, you know. Obviously, we've got Dilap from Man City, who is, they said he hasn't cut it. Was it Preston and Stoke?
It could be the style of play.
Yeah, it could easily be, you know. He's come from Man City. They might want to play a different way, Preston and Stoke, and he doesn't really...
Well, I think coming from Man City, it shows that Pep likes the way that Liam's playing, you know, and that's why I think he's come here, is because Pep does like the way that Liam's playing. He can see him sitting in our side and probably doing something in our side. And maybe, as you say, he's not fitted in the Preston way, the Stoke way as well.
Yeah, well, Liam had said, I think the main thing that came out of it, that he's got freakish pace. I think it's something that he desperately wants up front. He wants someone who can break the offside trap very easily. Because Oscar is, I wouldn't say he's the fastest player.
No, definitely not.
And what about the one player that I'm interested in is Uriel Celi. Is that how you say it?
Celi, I don't know.
He's still on loan, but apparently we can get him back in January, can't we?
I don't know.
I won't lie, I completely forgot we had him for a long time.
I did, but I think he could. He's a signing that we haven't seen, and we're probably not going to see until January next year. But he could come in January and you know, do something in this league and be like a new signing to us that we've already got.
Yeah, it's a weird one, because obviously there was different rules, obviously following Brexit and whatnot with transfers and being able to sign players overseas into the English league. But I'm sure I can't remember if it was on Twitter. Haven't they changed the ruling or something like that?
I think that's why you can come back to us in January rather than it being the full season, which it could be good for us. I'm just, you know, I've seen a little bit of it on YouTube, and it looks like a player.
The old YouTube compilation.
You can't beat a YouTube.
Everyone's Lionel Messi in there.
What do you think about the goalkeeper situation?
I'm happy with Ingram.
Yeah, I am, to be honest. Yeah,
it's a shame we're probably not going to get Dowler.
I agree. I think it is a shame because he is a good player.
He's a very good player.
And I think the battle between the two is good, but we can't afford him, can we?
No.
Probably not.
No. Not when you compete. I think we probably could have had him until the Premier League clubs, the recently relegated Premier League clubs decided to join the chase. And Newcastle saw an opportunity to then bump up the price a bit, maybe. But
yeah,
I mean, the thing is with me, if we're looking for another goalkeeper, to me that suggests that Rosinio doesn't see Ingram as the goalkeeper for this system, despite how good he is.
I think he started to come into the system, and I think he grew into the system more as he was playing. He was unlucky to get an injury near the end of the season, and that's when Darlow got his chance. And, you know, obviously Darlow showed his quality. But I think watching Matt Ingram, certainly the other night on Sunday on the game, I thought he was playing okay, to be honest.
I mean,
I was a little bit worried when he was near the centre line, and I thought they're going to chip him in at me. But, you know, I think he's growing into the system, to be honest.
He thought he was running Higuita for a few seconds.
The thing is, with the way you want the keeper to pass out, I mean, they all make the odd mistake, don't they?
They're going to.
You know, Edison's probably the exception to the rule. He's
even
he's so comfortable on the ball, isn't he? Yeah. You know, he's probably the best at doing that. But the others are getting better. But and I think Ingram, like you said, did get better over the season.
I mean, he was in like the top 5% for most goalkeeper statistics in the league.
Yeah.
He was one of the best keepers in the league. And then obviously he was displaced by Dialo for the rest of the season. So you don't know how high he would have finished in those stats. But Ingram's very, very, very rarely let us down. And I'd be happy if he was our first choice keeper this season. But
Timothy Lotutala. Did I say that right?
I believe so.
There you go.
Close enough, I think.
I'm not sure about him yet.
Not seen enough of him.
No. You know, but he has played in his international side, France under-20s, hasn't he? You know, and he's done. He gets picked for him, so there's got to be something there, aren't they?
He's young. Goalkeepers, they say, don't come into the prime from the late 20s, early 30s, do they? So, you know, he's. I think it was probably good for him to get that experience out on loan last season. Probably. That's probably the intention of the new goalkeeper, to be fair, is so we can send him out on loan.
Yeah.
And have two first-choice standing goalkeepers here.
Tatala went to, was it Stephen or John Lowe?
Yeah, they got promoted.
Apparently he had a good time there. Mm. So maybe another loan spell could do him good.
And one thing I can say on this podcast and on live on the radio is Hull City need to update their website because we've still got not the new players on there. It's still showing that we've got Figueiredo as a team member.
Really went,
Figueiredo has gone to Brazil, which is good for him and good for us, I think.
We made money on him, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
It's a shame all that turned out because he came with, I think everyone was positive about the transfer at the time. Forest fans have not a bad word to say about him, but he just didn't really fit into the way we played.
No, I think I think they kept him in the firing line for a bit too long before taking him out.
That Swansea game did not help him.
No.
That's what he'll be remembered for, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
That's his legacy.
I think that, you know, a more experienced manager would have probably taken him out and let him have a bit of a break and give somebody else a go just to take the heat off him a little bit. And I think that's probably the downfall of his season. And it didn't do him any good, did it? His confidence was shot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was very strange that, I mean, Shotter, when you look back, I mean, I liked Figueiredo at the beginning of the season. You can probably find 3 or 4 episodes where I'm sat singing his praises on an episode. Beginning of the season, he was actually okay.
The first couple of games.
When obviously the first, was it 4 or 5 games, we went unbeaten, joint top of the league, and he was okay. And then just like him, but the rest of the team just fell off a cliff. Like you say, you look, I mean, one of our biggest criticisms of McCann was his lack of being proactive and changing stuff when it's not working, which is what I would always say about Shotter in the end, was he just didn't change it. I know, obviously, he had his hands tied for the vast majority of it with injuries and stuff, but we were crying out for Sean McLaughlin
at
that stage of the season, and for some reason he just did not fancy him. And
I wonder if there was a clash of personalities there or something like that.
To be fair, Andy Dawson did play Sean McLaughlin straight away, didn't he? Which surprised me because he was probably my player of the year before, and I can't understand why he just didn't walk into the
team. But there might have been a mentality thing to that. So when Dawson comes in, if a player's not played well, like Figueiredo wasn't, and then Dawson comes in and drops him straight away.
Possibly,
he's thinking his confidence is shot. He's not going to play again. But he's probably gone, I'm going to put faith in him, play him, and see if he, you know what I mean? But we had a couple of decent results under Dawson, didn't we? So,
I think, you know, as you say, Dawson, he might have changed it. He didn't get the time. And then Rossini came in, and obviously the rest is history. And as I say, I like what Rossini is doing with the team. I like what he's trying to do. I think, you know, the playing out from the back, does it make me nervous? Yes, it does. So, Will, I'm not with you. I'm very nervous about it.
I'm getting nervous about it, but I know that it's a great long-term idea.
I think it is a great long-term idea. And if you've got the players to do it, which I think he's trying to do, he's going to be a little bit, what's the word that I'm looking for? Hampered this season in trying to do it because of what we can do with signings.
The thing is with the system, so Rossini has said this loads of times, like when he's met with fans and when they did the evening with him and everything like that. The thing is with this system is it's all in the players. So when he's wanting them to play out from the back, that's the preferred choice. Now it's up to the player to decide whether to hit it long.
Yeah.
If he's got to a point where he's gone, I can't play this shot, I need to get rid of it. Rossini can't help it if the player makes the wrong decision.
No, he can't.
Yeah.
What he's trying to do is teach them when to know and identify the difference. And obviously there's going to be teething issues, like you said, in the first season where players maybe get a bit too confident in the situation, get caught on the ball. I think Seri gets caught on the ball quite often.
He does, yeah.
But also undroppable, in my opinion. So, you know what I mean? It's in terms of the style of play you want to do, a lot of this style of play has to be the player's footballing intelligence.
Yeah, well, I think the same's happened a bit at Brighton, haven't they? I mean, under Potter, like, there was a decent team, but this the new manager, he's got Dunk playing, you know, he's been in the England team before, as I know he got injured before the last one, but he was actually called up to the England squad on his performances because he's improved so much playing the ball out. So it is about a little bit about confidence and giving them players confidence.
Yeah.
Because obviously the fella can do it, but he obviously, whatever manager was, hasn't given that confidence to do it.
Yeah.
But he is doing it now, De Zerbi. So, you know, it's the same probably here to a certain degree. You know, you've got players who are more confident. The ones who aren't as confident, you've got to give them that bit of a fill-up and make sure they get the confidence, haven't you?
I think Rosinha, and I mean, you can just get this from listening to him in interviews and what he is as a person. You can tell, in terms of man management, that he probably meets with all of them players one-on-one every training session and tries to identify weaknesses and say, you should be working on this. It'd work better if you did this. This is what we're going to try and do next season. So maybe try and practice this a bit more kind of thing. I get the impression that Rosinha does that. Obviously, I've not been down to training and see that, but
no.
I would confidently say
you saw the thing that the club had put out about his talk when they first came back for pre-season. And, you know, all plaudits to him because, you know, to come out and actually do that and to tell the players that, you know, he believes that they can do it. And if you don't believe as a manager that you can do it, you can't expect your players to do it.
No.
And you've got to give people belief. I mean, you lads will know, I'm a driving instructor, and any time I put somebody in for test, I say to them, you know, you can do it. And if I don't say to them, you can do it, then I shouldn't be putting them in for tests because they can't do it. So if you don't have belief in your players and stuff like that, then there's no point because you've got to have that belief there yourself. If you haven't got that, then no point in trying to instill it in your players, is there?
No, not at all. I mean, that's something that you probably look back at Schotter's reign with, and he didn't even fill the fans with confidence in his interviews. So, you know, he's got a tough
task. I did like Schotter. I thought he was a lovely guy. Yeah. And he talked. I mean, we met him. We was quite lucky. We got into the chairman's suite last year. My mate won tickets, but he thought he had COVID, so he gave them to us. And we went into the chairman's suite, and we had a good chat with Schotter. And you thought, from listening to him,
he
sounded like he had a really good idea. And then you watched it on the Saturday, and you think,
that's not what he said.
That's not enough. No. Definitely not. And you wondered why it went so horribly wrong. But yeah, he talked a good game, but didn't put it out on the pitch.
Yeah, very odd. I mean,
whether it was something to do with the language, you know, he's. I don't know. I'd say this, but you don't know, do you? If you weren't using the right words and things like that. Rosinha, you know, obviously he's doing really well. He did well at Derby as well, didn't he? His last, I think, was it 12 or 13 games for them? He was manager and he did really well there. So he's obviously got something about him, and he obviously wants the team to play in a certain way, which I have no problem with. You know, I don't mind them playing that way. As I said before, it's just a little bit nervy at times. But I think I don't think we need many players. We've got a forward now. Maybe need somebody, another defender. Depends who we lose, isn't it, in the next few weeks, if we lose anybody. That could be one of the big problems.
Who's going, boys?
I hope none of them go. I mean, the only players you maybe consider leaving are players that need to go out on loan or that are going to be on the fringes of the squad. Woods has played well these couple of friendly games, but realistically, I think he's not going to be in the starting lineup in and around. I'd rather Woods and Doc, for example, go than Greaves and Oscar.
Yeah.
Because of how crucial they are to the team. I mean, and the return you're going to get from those players is going to be far higher, which is obviously what is going to be in consideration from the ownership when they're selling players. If you can sell Jacob Greaves for £8 million.
Is he going to let Oscar go? 13 goals last season. Would you let Oscar go?
Depends on how much gets offered.
Really? But where do you get them 13 goals from?
Yeah, it can be so hard to replace a goal scorer is the problem, especially at this level.
You'd like to think Delap might get, you know.
Is he going to get 13?
Well, you would like to think so.
How much did we sign Oscar for?
Free.
What much was it at all? So it's like trying to get someone of that quality again in for $3 million to replace him. It's going to be hard to do.
The thing is with the Championship is, to get a guaranteed goal scorer at this level, teams spend, I mean, look at, it was £8 million on Ellis Sims. To Coventry, do you know that's the kind of climate we're in at the minute?
Yeah.
So, if you're going to sell Oscar for, you know, a few mil, make a profit on him, because we signed him for free, that's fine. But then, like you say, you're going to have to spend so much more money than probably what you made on him to replace his goals in the side. And the fact that we found somebody for free who I think on a full 46 game season will get 20 plus goals.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I definitely wouldn't be letting Oscar go anywhere. We talked outside the studio when we was waiting to come in about Greaves, and Greaves is a bit of a mixed one, isn't he? You know, I think if the right bid came in for him, I'd let him go, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, I might get shot down in flames for it. If I do, then, you know, I'm at DJD1974 on Twitter. Feel free to shoot me down. I've got no problem with it.
I mean, I adore Jacob Greaves, but I do think he's going to go this summer. I personally think he's going to go.
It's weird. Like I said this to you outside. The thing is, we're very short on defenders at the minute. Yeah. I know we let Figueiredo go, and he realistically probably wasn't going to be involved in the first team, let's be honest. But you look at the centre-backs we've got at the minute. We've got Sean McLaughlin, Alfie Jones, Jacob Greaves and Andy Smith. And then a couple of youngsters obviously could go into it. But in terms of depth, you don't want to rely on 18, 19-year-olds. Andy Smith, I'm quite excited for. I think we'll be a part of it for the two good seasons he's had on loan at Grimsby. Player of the season, I think, for at least one of them, it might be both. I'd like to see him involved as Jones's backup, but is Greaves going to be happy as backup? I don't think so. Is he going to be happy playing left back? I don't think so.
And we're going to sign a left back, aren't we?
Yeah, Vinagre is probably going to come in.
So, you know,
we've got Fleming, haven't we?
You're going to start Sean McLaughlin ahead of Jacob Greaves all season, aren't you?
On last season's form, absolutely. And that's the thing. But I was on a show the other day and I said the problem is with those two is, you know, say McLaughlin gets an injury and Greaves steps in. Greaves is more than capable of then solidifying that starting position. And we're talking the same about McLaughlin, saying how does he get back in the side? We've got two unbelievably good left-footed centre-halves that are fighting for the same spot. Really, unless he goes to three at the back, I can't see us wanting to keep all the Greaves. But we'll obviously need to sign at least another two or three centre-backs is the problem if you let him go. So
it's funny with Greaves because he didn't really cement a specific spot last season, but he played the joint most number of games.
We had to utilise him in left-back, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he did a good job in left-back, to be fair. But like you say, he missed that natural balance.
I don't think he did a bad job. I think that, you know, Callum Elder as a left-back was definitely more natural. You could see the more natural ability that he had to get the ball in the box and things like that. I think Jacob Greaves likes to come inside a bit more than what Callum likes to overlap and put the ball in. I think we'll lack putting the ball into the box a lot of the time, especially when you've got somebody like Oscar there, because if you get a good ball in, he was there 9 times out of 10. Yeah.
Big Ben, hopefully, will have quite a big part to play the season, and he's got height on him, so you'd think we'd be sticking more balls in the box this season.
And that's what you've got to hope this season. I just don't think we did enough of it last season. And if you play Jacob Greaves at left back, you're not going to get as much as that for me.
I mean, he played his first reasoning for putting Greaves in at left back above Elder was the fact that we conceded so many goals from set pieces. He wanted more height in the squad.
Yeah.
That was literally the whole reason Greaves started playing there. And then he just turned out to be actually fairly decent as a left back. I think then just sort of kept to that role. But like you say, the squad misses a bit of natural balance, I think, when you play a centre half out there. I mean, Dan Burns sort of converted from a centre half to a left back, can't he? But we're talking Champions League level player there now, aren't we, at Newcastle? So it's a bit different.
What about playing the three at the back then?
You sacrifice a player in an attacking sense, don't you? And I don't think Rosini wants to do that. You lose a midfielder or you lose an striker, don't you?
Could he go 3-5-2?
But then you don't have the wingers.
We on the five, you don't.
You got the wing backs.
They can drop up and back.
But your problem with that is that your wing backs have to defend. So if you're playing, Ali Aaron once. I mean, to be fair, Ali Aaron played decent as left wing back at the beginning of the last season.
He does get back, doesn't he?
But the thing is when you're playing a wing back system, you've got players that the wing backs have to go up and attack, but they also have to be that defensive part of that defensive five. So they have to be fairly good at defending. I'd rather our wingers be further up the pitch, if I was being honest.
Well, I'm just wondering if he wants to keep Greaves, which I can't see him, as you say, playing backup to McLaughlin. He's hoping McLaughlin gets an injury, isn't he?
It's how vital does Rosinia see Jacob Greaves to this team? If he's so important that he needs to add him in, but also you can't drop Jones or Macca because of the season they had, then he will have to change to a vibe at the back. But
I'm glad Jones finally got mentioned. Player of the year.
It's because we're comparing the left-sided defenders, aren't we?
Jones had a real good, I think he started poorly, to be fair.
No, he did. I went away to QPR, which is a game that is a really bad memory for me because I drove all the way from Leeds to get to the KC for, what was it, half past 11 in the morning to then drive all the way to London to then watch the game. And we lost 3-1, played awful. And I didn't get back to Hull till 3 and then back to Leeds till 4. So, yeah, it was a really bad day. But James was really bad that game, I remember. Thinking,
you see, I think that Jones became better once that McLaughlin came in. I think McLaughlin gave Jones a little bit more confidence. I think that's what happened, is that there was a bit more, whether it's the age thing, because McLaughlin's just a little bit older than Jacob Greaves, and whether it's that, I don't know. I just want to say, by the way, you're listening to Westall FM 106.9 Tiger Pop, and also to Hull and Back podcast. We've teamed up tonight for a special sort of podcast radio thingy-majig, and we might do it again if you want us to. If you don't, then just say, don't do it again, please, boys.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll tell us.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. To be fair, don't do it again, boys.
To be fair, we had Nathaniel popped up earlier. I think it was when someone mentioned Longman. He put, it was like Beetlejuice, isn't it? But no, we've not mentioned him since. He's vanished, so...
He's going, Nathaniel.
What about Ryan Longman then? Well, we mentioned him again, so I might get Nathaniel back on that side.
Yeah, he'll pop up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, what about him?
I would send him out on loan, personally.
Same.
I'm reluctant to sell him because we know how good he can be.
Yeah, he's been a bit unlucky, I think, hasn't he? Because he's played in different positions, hasn't he?
Yeah, he just doesn't look the player that we saw when he was here on loan under McCann. And
I agree with you.
I don't know if it's maybe because he actually discovered that wing-back is... probably his natural position. He was really good because we played Lewis Potter and Longman as wing backs in that system, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he was really good. And then obviously we signed him permanently, and then Schotter came in. I don't know if a change in the system and whatnot, maybe just lost his mojo, but he's just not been the same. And
I don't think the crowd getting on his back last season allowed his confidence.
Huddersfield away was a bad time for him.
I felt sorry for him because one thing he is, he's definitely committed to the cause. It's just, you know, sometimes things don't go your way, I think.
Yeah. Like someone's just said in the comments, he's a confidence player.
Probably is.
The thing is he's not... Is he realistically going to get enough games, well, a run of games in this current side to get his confidence back? I don't think he will. Because if you get a pecking order up of the wingers and strikers in this squad, I don't think Longman's in anybody's top five.
No, I don't think he would be. No.
So,
except Nathaniel,
who obviously, he's only number one. Nathaniel would play him in goal if he meant he was on the pitch.
Full team of Ryan Longman.
Yeah. But to me, just send him out on loan to a League One squad, let him start banging in some goals. And
what about Xavier Simmons?
I really like him.
I like him.
There's a lot, one or two I've read would think they should play, I think, ahead of Seri, to be honest.
I think for a few games last season, I would have definitely played him ahead of Seri. But then, I don't know, at the end of the season, he didn't look as good as he did when he came in and Seri was injured. I don't know why that, he's young, isn't he? That's the thing. And your young players, do you get 7 out of 10 every week? I don't think you do all the time, do you?
Liam really likes Xavier. You can tell when you listen to his interviews. He's like, he can't believe what player. I think when he first came in, he thought someone from Chelsea, like Harvey Vale, probably knew it wasn't going to be his. We probably thought, well, he's not going to be here at the end of the season. He's probably just going to go back to Chelsea. But he saw him play and he thought, there's something I can do here.
It's the potential, isn't it?
I think
you've got to come into the squad. It's like Harry Vaughan.
Yeah.
If you can come into the
squad. He took his chance so well, didn't he?
Yeah. If you can come into a championship squad, you know, at this level of football, I mean, the championship is tough for some seasoned veterans. Never mind a youngster trying to come into the side. And we didn't know anything of Simons. And I mean, you can probably find episodes of the pod last season where we were wondering why we signed him because he was nowhere near the starting 11.
Yeah.
I think it didn't make his debut till January, was it?
Was it in the cup against Fulham? I think he got an injury at one point.
I think it was in the cup against Fulham. Yeah. And he played really well. And then that kind of forced him into the side. And when a player looks comfortable on the ball and it full of confidence, that there already says to the manager, yeah, we've got a player here. You know, he don't retreat into his shell or, you know, let a mistake phase him kind of thing. And if you're looking at a long-term replacement, because Seri's not realistically going to be, if we don't go up, I don't think Seri will be here next season because I don't think wage-wise it would probably make sense.
His wife might finally
get to Italy. She'll probably want to go to Italy. But he's going to be that long-term replacement because you want to see the future is okay in that each position. And midfield is definitely covered with the likes of Simons coming through.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, you know, we have got a good sort of backup in the midfield, and as you say, Simon's definitely fits that. Another one that fits that, Callum Jones. I've seen him a couple of times. I've been quite impressed with what he's done, to be quite honest with you. And I think he could be one for the future as well. And they keep blooded him out on loan, don't they, just to see how we can do. And I think, you know, he could certainly be somebody who comes in and does a good job for us.
Yeah, he's another player who's a bit like Seri, where he's very composed and classy on the ball. But he's the kind of player that a lot of fans, me included, has want to see maybe have some more first-team opportunities, but hasn't really been given that chance.
It's always going to be hard with those players that are in there, though, isn't it? You know, you've got Slater played as well as he has done, and then Traore came in, didn't he? You know, and he was doing really well as well. As we've just mentioned, Simons, you know, and then you've got to try and get rid of Seri out of the position as well.
Which, Tufan as well.
Yeah, Tufan. It's not easy, is it?
Well, Callum's going to have a learn.
I mean, he's gone to Forest. Yeah, he's got a feature of a free kick the other day.
I think the thing is, it's a good thing is the loan thing, because Jacob Greaves went out on loan, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he came back a lot better player after being on loan. I think the lower leagues, it's so tough, isn't it? It's, you know, physically tough.
There's always that argument about, well, all these players at like the bigger clubs just staying at the big clubs and in their academies and under reserve leagues. No, you want to be going out to the EFL and getting proper experience.
The Dewey's definitely. I think it brought Jacob Greaves on no end.
You look at the England under 21 team from just a long ago, how many of those players in that England under 21 side? Have been regulars in the EFL in the last few years.
It builds that experience of being in the league is crucial, I think, especially in a young player's career. You've got to go down there and experience, you know, the highs, lows, relegations, promotions, how to manage expectations, confidence levels. To me, I'd rather send a player. If you've got a player, a good prospect that you see being part of the first team in the future, to me, they should be out on loan.
For a couple of years.
I mean, this is, I think, the problem with Fleming is that he's hardly played any football. I think, what is he, 23, 24 now? Something like that?
Not far off.
He's not really a youngster anymore, but he's hardly played any football. I think he's probably played less than 150 games in his career. You know, he's in his mid-20s. So it's... And then he's got... I mean, to be fair, he went out on loan last season, didn't really take his chance. But players... like that, you have to get them out playing regular football until like their early 20s and then start phasing them into the starting 11. And I'm glad that we've got a decent youth setup now to do it. Yeah, I mean, look, it's Wikipedia here. He's played 31, 3, 10, 14 games. Yeah, he's not even played 100 games in his career.
Not a lot, is it? Realistically, for his
age, he has suffered with a few injuries, hasn't he? And that's not helped him, I don't think. And we was talking outside the studio again, and I like Brandon Fleming. I thought it was going to be our best left back by a mile. But you know, then he's picked up a couple of injuries, and it's not really worked for him. And then, as we said, he's got out on loan and not got any games out on loan. And you would expect him in Oxford, you would expect him to get a game, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
he got a few games, I think, towards the end of the season, but it wasn't a regular start.
We got a good bar last year in Christie, didn't we? Sarah's Christie, I think, as I said outside, we could move him further up the pitch. I think, you know, he's got a lot of ability about him, and he'll take players on. He tries to make things happen, which I like. You know, I think it's good, especially coming in from that right-hand side.
Well, we tried that, didn't we? We had him, I think it was Dawson who did it first. Because do you remember when, was it Blackpool away, where Dawson named that team and it was like seven midfielders and everyone was like, what? He's lost the plot. He's coming in like, what is this team? We had like Slater and Doherty out on the wings and all
that. I think he
did
just to throw Blackpool.
Right? Yeah. And we ended up winning 3-1, something like that. But we tried, I think it was Dawson first did it, where he pushed Christie further up the pitch and we had Coyle behind him. The problem is would you rather have Christie up there than some of the other options we've got in that?
Yeah, that is the question. It's a difficult one, and it's
hard to say.
Like, would you rather play Christie than Alia? Would you rather play him there than
I might play him instead of Alia at the moment.
I don't think Alia's done enough. I think when he first came in, it looked really, really good for us, but I don't think he kicked on last season, to be quite honest with you.
He said he had injuries.
He's got everything but the final product.
His commitment's there, his speed's there. You know, it's just that, as you say, he gets up to the 18-yard area, and then he thinks, what do I do?
Yeah, he passes when he should shoot, and he shoots when he should pass kind of thing. And you've got a player.
Putting Christie in front of him, to be honest, I wouldn't at all. I think, you know, I don't know, he seems to have had another... at least a life of Cyrus Christie since he came here.
I think Cyrus Christie's at least in the discussion for player of the season if he stays fit.
If he didn't get injured,
I think he was definitely.
I think he was like our fourth top scorer as well.
Which is nuts, isn't it? Absolutely crazy, isn't it, that he's the fourth top scorer.
But probably puts a bit more eggs in the basket as to why we're trying to sell Oscar, maybe.
Definitely don't sell Oscar, for God's sake.
When Greaves and Christie are in your top five scorers.
Anyway, you're on West Hill FM 106.9. It's Tiger Pop and to Hull and Back Podcast Combine. I'm trying to get words on Podcast Combine tonight. Too many words for me, that's the problem. And we're doing it this time, and we might do it again if you like it. We've got about 6 minutes left of the show.
Yep.
So what we're going to talk about to finish this show off, boys?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Well, who would you like to see come into the club?
Kylian Mbappe.
Well, yeah, we've made
an offer for
realistic. Realistic.
He's a bit of a premium already.
I like the names that have been mentioned so far. I do like the prospect of Ruben Vinagre in left back. I remember him. I'm not going to pretend to remember him playing for Everton, but I do remember him playing for Wolves in this league, and he was outstanding. And he was like 19 back then, so he'll got a lot more experience. He, to me, would just be like having another Cyrus Christie on the pitch down the other side, and it just gives us that multi-pronged attack from both sides that's crucial if you wanted to break teams down, especially those that... Because I think our issue last season was if a team sat back against us, we could not break them down.
Yeah.
One thing I don't think we need is any more midfielders, do we?
I wouldn't think so, no. But I'm quite glad that I don't think I've seen any midfielders linked with us.
last season there was a million midfielders linked, and 500,000 of them were actually on the team sheet.
It was like back when we had Steve Bruce and he kept signing number 10s.
Yeah.
What about Connolly then? He's been mentioned, hasn't he?
I have that. Yeah. I really like Connolly. I think he was Oscar's best partner, obviously.
Do we worry about the injuries, though? Because that's my thing, is we have too many injuries last season. I don't want somebody coming in who's going to be injury prone again.
Yeah, it's why that transfer surprised me, because I didn't think we would go back in for him. Yeah. Just for that reason.
I didn't, honestly. I really wanted us to, but I thought it was over.
But if Rosini, I mean, I think it's a loan. I think that's what I've seen. But
I suppose on a loan,
his contract expires in summer.
You're not taking as big a risk, are you? Yeah. If you take him on a loan, that is the thing, that you could send him back if you needed to.
Yeah, he's probably happy to take him on another loan. And then, like we say, if his contract expires in summer, then we probably get first dibs on signing him for free, which would be great. And if he stayed fit, then what a signing that is.
He's not going to get in Brighton's team, like, is
no,
he?
No. Brighton fans don't like him at all. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think his transfer, I mean, especially with me, a lot of the teams that he played for before, there was no team that had a good word to say about him.
Yeah.
And obviously, he is the perfect example of just judge him after you've seen him play.
One of the few people who liked him was Liam, who was at Brighton.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that's one of the things, isn't it? You know, it takes certain managers to get the best out of certain players, doesn't it? Liam seems to be able to get the best out of a lot of different personalities. You know, he just got that in his locker for some reason. I don't know where he's got it from. But, you know, I saw Liam when I was chairman of the Hull City Official Supporters Club Cottingham branch. Liam came along with David Marler, and the pair of them spoke so well. You could see that both of them was going to do something in the game. And I'll tell you one thing. It's great to see both of them still involved in the City Football Club.
So
you know, Marler's got in on the youth setup. Liam's the manager. It's really good to see those players that did so well for us back in the Premier League era coming back and doing something with the team now.
Well, I remember when he first got mentioned for a senior for the job, I thought, I didn't think it happened, but as soon as it happened, I hope it happens, because he was one of my favourite players at the time of that team, because I loved him as a player, and I always thought we should never have got rid of him when we did.
One of the things that, you know, we get to go to the press conferences with West Hill FM, and the thing that, you know, I'm always totally impressed with, he comes round the press room and shakes everybody's hand as somebody walks in. You can just tell he's got that charisma. He's that sort of really nice person. Doesn't matter who you are, just comes across, shakes your hand, says you all right. You know,
and it don't come across fake either.
No, it's definitely not fake. It's definitely not fake. He means it all the time. And I love that about him.
Yeah. My eldest daughter, Mia, was mascot at the West Brom game last season. And when they're waiting in the tunnel beforehand for the players arriving, every single player stops and signs that book for them. There was about six mascots that were there for about 10 minutes signing these books, but every single player of the squad stops and signs them. And then when Rosinia came in after them all, he sat and he chatted to them all. Like, he didn't just say hi, sign the book and walk off. He spoke to them all, asked them questions, see how the day was, stood there had a picture with them, made them laugh, all that kind of thing. And when you stood there, like, as a parent watching them with your kids, and then, like, thinking he didn't have to do that.
No.
But that's the type of guy that Rosinia is. Game. Yeah. And you can guarantee he does it every single year.
Yeah, what a guy.
let's hope that he's there. You know, he has a really good, successful season this coming season. Let's hope we can make that top six or even higher. That'd be really nice to, you know, maybe make that top two.
I'll take mid-table.
Well, listen, Liam's dreaming big.
Has last season not told you anything?
If we watch him on his pre-season, he comes back for the first day of pre-season, he gives that talk. If we don't believe, then, you know, the players don't believe. We have to believe that what he's saying is the truth.
If he wasn't dreaming big, there'd be no chance.
No. So we've got 1 minute left on the show because we've got to finish for the news, unfortunately. But I've really enjoyed this podcast and Tiger Pop collaboration.
Yeah, it's been good.
I hope you all watching and listening have enjoyed it too. If you haven't, please don't message. If you have, just message in and say it was brilliant. You know, give us loads of stars. Whatever you can do, we'll let them take it.
I think we need to give a big shout out to Will because we've not had one expletive.
He's done really well. Will, you've got 30 seconds left to behave yourself. Definitely so.
Fantastic.
And Will's going to be up there on the top of the stadium for Westall FM doing the Twitter commentary again. We're going to try and get him to do some team news and stuff like that this season. So we're looking forward to that. And we'll try and do some more linking up between to Hull and back and Westall FM's Tiger Pop. I've been Andy Wright.
I've been Paul Wright.
I've been Ant Northgraves.
I've been Will Young.
And you've been listening to the Tiger Pop and to Hull and Back podcast. We'll hope to do it again soon. Enjoy the rest of your evening, whatever you're doing.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.